guys, it's the Great Debates Republican National Convention episode.
We're here.
We're actually literally here.
Save it.
Okay.
We jump right, well, I don't care where we are. If
this
we're
is
in
great.
A, if
You're
we're
right.
in an active volcano, we still jump right into it.
Okay.
Well, we jump into a micro, not the,
micro,
the volcano.
Obviously.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. This is a topic that I have for you guys.
Okay.
Steve, who? Oh, Davis is going to take the pro?
Yeah,
I guess
pro.
I'll take the pro.
Dave's going to take the pro. By the way, just to set the scene, we're here in Media Center in the Press Filing Center.
That's right.
There's reporters everywhere hacking out real tough reporting on their laptops. They're earning their keep here. And so we're going to try to earn ours. Here's a micro debate. 3 minutes on the clock. Dave King taking the pro. It's okay to plagiarize once in your life.
Look, is it ideal to plagiarize? No, obviously it's a sin both on a moral level and a sort of, you know, in a workplace level. It's certainly grounds for firing, I think. And obviously we're talking about this because of the Melania speech, and also Donald J. Trump has been accused of mild plagiarism as well. But is it okay to do it once in your life? Yes, I would say that people such as Jane Goodall and Martin Luther King have proven that it's okay to plagiarize and still become a good, go far beyond the evil of your plagiarism with your good acts and your contribution to society.
Should we forgive people that commit this crime? Yeah, I think so. Should we allow for them to recover and earn back the public's trust? Yeah, I think so. But that doesn't mean it's okay. We shouldn't have it be a policy that it's tolerable to plagiarize once in your life. Plagiarism hurts the audience. They don't know what they're hearing. Their trust is eroded. It hurts the person from whom you're words are plagiarized. They're essentially, their intellectual property has been stolen, and it hurts the speaker because they're not reflecting their honest thoughts. It's a three-way crime, and it's not okay.
Well, no, I would
just because we can forgive somebody or let something go doesn't mean it's okay to do it.
I actually do think that it's okay. I think that for the reason that you can forgive someone for it, I think there's some things that are forgivable and some things that aren't. I think plagiarism is forgivable. I would also argue that someone like Doris Kearns Goodwin is a great writer who actually learned from her case of plagiarism. Now, what happened in her case was not intentional lifting of copy, but she realized that her note-taking process led her to accidentally plagiarize. And therefore, I would say that there was no fault on her. Oh, well, there was fault.
Well, she was being sloppy. She was a sloppy historian.
Exactly. She was a sloppy historian, the last thing we'd expect from the wonderful DKG. And she revised her practices after
DKG.
That.
That doesn't make it okay. It was still wrong, and she shouldn't have done it.
And she won't do it again. But she did it once in her life. She moved on. Now she's a better writer. What's
okay?
wrong with that? If anything, it was good that she plagiarized because now we have an even better Doris Kearns.
It would have been better if she hadn't marred her record and our experience of her writing with this black mark on her character, her Wikipedia page.
What do you say to the example of Martin Luther King then?
Look, I don't know the details.
I'll tell you the details. He basically plagiarized his doctorate thesis.
All of it or just bits and
pieces? Large parts of it. And if you go to the Boston University Library.
Martin Luther King was not a perfect man.
That's right. He was far from it. And you know what? That's okay. We're not saying it's good. We're not saying like it's good for someone to plagiarize once in their life. But I actually think that saying it's okay is almost synonymous with saying it's forgivable. We can forgive it once.
A lot of things are forgivable that are not okay. For instance, it's forgivable to shoplift. Does that mean it's okay to shoplift? No.
No, but it's also not okay to plagiarize. But what we're saying is it's okay to plagiarize once in your life. If you learn from it, if you move on, if you apologize, then it's okay. I think it's okay.
Why shouldn't it be okay to plagiarize twice in your life?
It's an interesting question.
Why leave it at just once? But Deans, what do you think?
So basically we're just deciding whether something being forgivable means that it's okay or not.
Kind of, yeah. That's kind of where we got.
That's kind of what it came down to, interestingly.
Here's the thing. You asked an interesting question, Steve. Did he plagiarize the whole, in reference to Martin Luther King's thesis, did he plagiarize the whole thing or just part of it? Does it matter? No,
yeah.
I think it's just one little line is enough to.
Well, if you plagiarize the whole thing, that's like psychotic.
Right. That's almost more
line,
badass,
like, okay.
Actually. More forgivable to plagiarize the whole thing.
Cooler,
that means
definitely.
That you.
What my understanding is that he. I don't know how much he actually plagiarized, but my understanding is that if you. They gave him his doctorate at BU, Boston University, but they do, if you like go to like look at his thesis or whatever, which is in the library, there is a sort of like asterisk on it, which says that like there are, this is, we're not psyched about the fact that this was plagiarized.
Did he really have his dream, or was that somebody else's dream?
We'll never know.
Is there an age limit after which you can't, you really shouldn't plagiarize?
Yeah.
But maybe, well, when you're young.
Ten. But also, you know, some people think that he did lift the themes or the sort of patterns of the I Have a Dream from other people.
Well, you can learn and like incorporate styles right. from other people. Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. fine.
Yeah. Where's the line?
Now, we're sitting here in the press filing center.
I mean, is this nuts?
Of the Huntington Convention
I don't
center,
know if people
Cleveland,
believe
Ohio.
We're actually in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, we're here, man.
You're
we're
around
special
your neck are the official lanyards.
We've
of
got
their
a lanyard on with passes.
Yeah. Shout out to Anastasia Hardin, director of special press, who hooked us up with some press passes.
Way to go, Anastasia.
I don't know why she did. I'd love to have her on the podcast, but she's pretty busy this week. Now, let's say we overheard a reporter saying some really good yeah. nugget of info. They're yeah. calling back to headquarters in London or wherever, because that's we're in this like rows of press filing yeah. stations. If we hear that and we drop it into Great Debates as though we learned it ourselves,
is that
is
plagiarism?
Is that a kind of plagiarism or stealing?
I think
it's definitely
so.
Definitely not cool, right? To steal another reporter's exclusive?
I think that's the name of the game, isn't it?
Grab the other guy's stuff? Hey, reporting's reporting, man.
The facts are the facts.
Mm. Did you hear something?
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't heard anything.
I would actually say that it's surprisingly quiet and lame here.
Here in the press filing center.
The last thing I can imagine is someone like...
dropping a choice nug.
Yeah, like calling someone with hot...
I
like,
can't say I'm surprised
Watergate
by the
level.
Lameness. Like, what did you think yeah. was going to be happening?
I guess I mean lameness more just in terms of like level of activity even. But I guess it's supposed to pick up later in the day.
I think it's surprisingly well-appointed. Everything matches. There's like these nice curtains and the tables all have skirts on them.
You know, USA Today is over there. I don't know if you scouted out, but they've got coffee.
They've
and
got a whole lounge.
Facebook
it's
has
weird.
A big
we got
lounge.
Here. We came to our press filing station and much to my surprise, there was no like Great Debates logo or anything.
Nothing.
And meanwhile, USA Today has a whole coffee set up.
It's weird,
we just,
right?
It is weird.
It's almost like they're treating them a little better than they're treating us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't like it.
It doesn't seem right. Mm-hmm, it doesn't seem true to the spirit of the Republican Party to treat the richer organization better than the poor one.
Right.
Well, we'll be reporting from the convention for the next couple of days, right?
Yeah.
So, guys, we're going to be here traveling all over Cleveland on foot mostly.
Just
in the mix.
Wherever
getting
it
in
happens.
The mix. Yeah. Letting debates happen as they may.
And we may plagiarize some topics if we hear some good ones.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you think it's okay that the. What do you think of the speech?
I thought it was a great speech. You know, and hey, if she agrees with Michelle Obama, that's cool.
Oh, I thought it was. Did you really think it was a great speech?
I only heard the part that was allegedly plagiarized.
Oh,
like
I thought it was
pretty good.
Awful.
The whole
purpose of that speech should be to humanize Donald Trump and to share. It should be anecdotal. And the idea that she couldn't share one story, one specific about.
They don't like each other.
Well, that is a defense, though. That's,
did Michelle share a lot of anecdotes and stories?
Yeah, she
so?
Talked about. I remember her talking about driving. You know, home with the kids. That was cool.
Yes. They're real people.
Dad. Yeah.
I mean, so they're not, but they're more real than this monster.
These guys.
Are they? Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, they're cool.
He plays basketball, for Christ's sake.
He played basketball.
He drained his three-pointer.
Has Trump played basketball in the last 25 years? I doubt it.
You know, the craziest shit that's coming out now is about how, like, Trump hasn't read a book, like, ever. Have you heard about this?
I like that.
My two sources here are, one is the New Yorker article by the guy who wrote The Art of, Art of the Deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he never once saw a book anywhere near Trump.
Right.
And the other is Elliot Spitzer recently said that his father had dealings with Trump earlier in his career. And Trump bragged to Elliot Spitzer's father. He said, I haven't read a book in 20 years.
Cool.
Bragged about it. What is that? Anyway.
Guys, I'm hungry for lunch. Let's go to the next.
Yeah, we got
to
eat. Let's go.
Let's
next
go to
stop.
The next episode.
Pierogies.
Okay, we're here at Sokolowski's University Inn. This place was opened in 1923, and we just had some Polish-style cuisine.
Yeah.
What a find, right?
Man. How'd you pick this place, Dan?
I used Yelp.
You're kind of our Bourdain.
Right, right. This is some authentic.
But they said that the pierogies melt in your mouth here.
Okay. I would agree. Yeah, they did.
I think that phrase is overused.
I don't think it's often used for like pierogies.
Well, I think it's actually. I mean, I get it when it's like for chocolate. Is this the debate? I get it when it's for stuff like chocolate or for things that actually melt.
I agree. It's overused for
or
chocolate.
Ice cream.
But
no,
to apply a chocolatey type term to something like pierogies is actually fairly descriptive. The pierogies are soft, they're buttery, they melt away.
Stupid. Anyway, what's our debate?
We're going to have a debate about the dish that both of you had
here. Okay, we have the same main course.
Yeah. I'm still finishing my pie, by the way. It's delicious.
It looks great.
And I'm having a Polish beer. I can't remember what the name is. Healy taking the pro?
Yeah.
The chicken paprikash at Sokolowski's is good.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. This was the featured lunch today, so of course I ordered it. And it was delicious. It's like a fried chicken breast. It was really soft and tender. And then it's covered with like a tomato-y gravy that also has like little mini pierogies in it, little like dough discs. And it was chewy and good and hearty and very satisfying. You served it over some mashed potatoes. I think can't complain. It was flavorful and interesting. Hadn't had anything like it in a while. So it was kind of unique and cool and a good dish.
Well, the one key place where I disagree with you is the word flavorful. I found it to be oddly, for a dish with so many ingredients, I found it to be oddly bland, and I got to keep my voice down because we're in the fucking restaurant.
It's a cafeteria style
place. It's cafeteria style dining. We got our stuff and then we sat down. And we're surrounded by customers, but I thought they described it as chicken with a vegetable sauce, and I just thought, well, I didn't taste any vegetables. It was kind of mushy. Also, like it was more like hospital food. It was like a sort of. That one same consistency of the chicken, the sauce, and the vegetables.
See, first of all,
very
I like
mushy.
That. I consider that to be like, if you're making something like a dish like chicken paprikash, you want to hit that sweet spot where it's all kind of blending together.
What do you know about this dish? What do you mean if you're making a dish like this? You've never made this or anything like this.
How are you measuring whether it's good or bad? Just
the taste. As I said, mainly the taste.
I thought it was hearty, satisfying. Look, I'm not going to argue. Of course, it was spicy or interesting, but it was good.
I don't like spice. I'm not asking for spicy. I didn't think the vegetables, to the extent there even were vegetables, I didn't think they were fresh. Can you even name two vegetables that were in there?
There was definitely tomatoes in there.
I don't know that there even were.
What? Why do you think? What do you think gave it that red color?
I don't know. Could have been peppers.
Well, you know,
paprika.
Maybe
it's called a pepper cash.
Your mistake was not washing it down with a Stosky beer. You had a Coca-Cola, which that's going to make anything bland.
The merits of a dish should not be determined based on whether or not
you're drinking
supplement
sugar
it
water.
With the right.
You're drinking
beverage.
Frothy sugar water. How do you know what's flavorful, what's not? Your mouth is washed out by this Coca-Cola.
I had plenty of the chicken before. And by the way, it was a Pepsi, which I wasn't crazy about. It's the only thing they serve here. Look, here's the other problem with the dish is that you know what? There's no problem other than it just didn't taste good. Oh, no, this is what I was going to say. It wasn't seasoned well enough. It should have been a little saltier. This is a chicken. It's got to have
there's
a little
salt
bit.
And pepper
chicken
on the
is
table.
A,
throw some on it. What's the big deal? Also, I've never had a thing like this that had like little mini pierogies like in the sauce. So you'd have a bite and you'd get not only chicken and the tomato sauce, but you'd get this little like
and then only added
goodness.
To. I know, but it was all doughy. The chicken was doughy. The dough was doughy. The veggies were doughy.
First
enough
of all,
already.
You got to acknowledge the chicken was excellently cooked. Acknowledge
it was
that
fine. It's hard to like miscook chicken. I'm at a restaurant. They better fucking cook the chicken
I think
the
this
right
was
way.
The best chicken paprikash I've ever had.
It's so lame.
Was there room to improve? Sure. Medina, what do you think?
And go ahead.
Just for the record, you did not have the chicken paprikash.
No, I ordered the stuffed cabbage, which was superb.
Really?
I mean, it was basically a hamburger inside a leaf of cabbage with some tomato sauce on
top. They stuffed the hell out of it.
And there was some kind of rice in there in the
What'd you think
feed.
Of our little debate?
I
agree with Dave that the dish was flavorless because I did have a bite.
Yeah.
But is that the only thing that there is when it comes to a dish? Can it be good and flavorless?
Totally.
And that is a point that I wasn't expecting for Healy to bring to me, but he did, and so maybe I'm going to give it to him.
You guys are nuts. You guys,
I know.
You guys should just eat, put your money where your mouth is and eat nothing but Soylent from now on.
Look, I've talked to you about this. I would love to eat nothing but Soylent, but the farting is well known to be a huge problem.
The farting. Take some Beano or whatever that thing is.
Well, then what's the point? I mean, now you're having the food supplement and an anti-farting.
You just said you'd love to eat nothing but it, but taking one pill a day in addition to it?
I don't want
to
have problematic level of farting.
The other thing is that washing the dish down with a Stosky beer is very important, and I had a Stosky.
Well,
I'm on my second.
Yeah, I'm
Polish
sorry
beer.
That unlike you guys, I'm not a freaking day drinker. Gonna have a start drinking it.
We're on
We're
on vacation.
We're at the convention, bro.
What the convention? Yeah,
well, I'm trying to be professional here. I like to keep my wits. And by the way, if I have one beer at noon, I'm out of it.
You're done.
I need a nap.
You're done.
And
yeah.
I'm drunk.
I'm fairly exhausted by the paprikash and the beer combo, plus the chocolate cream pie I had.
Well, that's fine, because we're going to go take a walk now around Cleveland.
Yeah, let's do it.
Around the Tremont District.
Let's do it.
Okay, I have a topic for us.
Great.
Healy taking the pro.
Yes.
We should be here.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. Look, I don't think I've done a good enough job lately in the debates of really, like, defining, you know, what the topic means. We should be here at the corner of Professor and College in Tremont in Cleveland? No. We should be here at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Of course we should. Here's why. We're journalists. We bring people the news. We cover the great debates of the nation. We look for topics to debate. There's a great debate in our country that's sourced at the Republican National Convention. We should be here to cover it, to generate material. We've already had a spectacular day. We had some celebrity encounters. We're having fun debates. We're eating good food. We're experiencing a great American city. Of course we should be here. I don't see an argument against it.
You're redefining what here means. This is Dave King. I'm taking the con. We're not at the Republican Convention. We are at the corner of Professor and College in the middle of the Tremont District in Cleveland. There's nobody around. These, like, restaurants are, like, barely open. Some of them are closed.
Okay.
People seem surprised that we're even walking around. By the way, I just sat down and I got dirt. I think I got bird poop or something on my pants.
Cleveland has
just
a nickname.
From sitting here in this gross city.
Its oldest nickname is the Forest City. And it's beautiful tree-lined streets and avenues that we're passing through.
I mean,
it's shady. There's a breeze coming in off the lake.
You're exaggerating the extent of the tree-linedness of this particular area. There are some trees.
Okay, let's go to the moderator. Can you deny that this is a tree-lined street?
No, this is a tree-lined street.
That's crazy. It isn't. We're sitting right now.
Read the name of the place across from the street.
Treehouse.
Okay.
On either side of the street right now, in 100 yards in either direction, there are no trees.
What?
You guys are insane.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying from that tree to this tree, viewers or listeners, you'll have to bear with me. That's about 100 yards from that tree to that tree.
What are you talking about? That's no more than 20 yards between two trees.
It's 40 yards. But
it's at least 40.
Over you think that's 40
street,
yards?
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
20 feet.
Within sight of us are four or five trees plus a place named
there's
after
no
trees.
One else here. There's so nothing
what?
Going on.
We don't need anybody
We
else.
Should be, here are the other places we could be. At home with our loved ones. I've been texting with my loved one. We both miss each other right now. We could be at the hotel
you know what?
Napping.
You're missing each other? It's just going to make it sweeter when
it
you
will be nice
later.
When we see.
It'll
it's
nice.
True. It's true.
You know what? You needed a little time away.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was good for you guys.
What are you talking about?
I think it was good for you guys. You spend too much time together. It's good for you to get a little break, be with the boys.
We just had a break. We were away from each other. Well, this isn't a referendum on whether or not we spend too much time together.
Maybe
this is
be.
About the Tremont District in Cleveland, which I find
Tremont
to be
District
kind of gross.
Kind of gross? This
what's
is probably
the
most beautiful neighborhood here.
Well, that says more about why we shouldn't even be here
it's
in the
cool
whole city of
houses,
Cleveland.
Brick buildings. We're
we've
on
seen
the steps
better
of a
parts.
Church.
We've seen much nicer parts of Cleveland. The other parts that we've walked through were way nicer than this. They were more sort of like municipal and civic oriented. There was much more green space. I'm looking around. It's all like brown grass and people who don't take care of their lawns.
Well, it's a little
and
dry
again,
in
there's
the summer,
bird shit on my pants just from sitting down. I don't know how that even got
That's
there.
That's your fault for sitting in some bird shit.
I didn't sit in it. It's on the front of my knees somehow. Look at this.
Larger issue.
Yes.
Cleveland. The
GOP always
want to
make
happening.
It about the larger issue.
I do want to redirect the debate. Let's make it we should be here in Cleveland at the Republican National Convention.
Yeah,
it feels
like a new
debate. I
didn't
know I had to spell it
today
out,
we're going
to
see Ted Cruz give a speech, which will be fascinating. He's a weird psychopath. We need to study this phenomenon and report on it as journalists. It's our civic obligation to bring this news to people of what the hell is going on here in Cleveland.
Okay, we're here under false pretenses. You were able to get us press passes through the Great Debates News, which is, to my knowledge, a now defunct organization.
Not at all. We took a summer break, but there won't be a Great Debates News.
Our press passes currently say Great Debates. They don't say Great Debates Podcast on them. They say Great Debates News.
There will absolutely
be a real institution.
There will be a Great Debates News report from the Republican Convention.
Then what is this?
Now you've talked me into it. This is a Great Debate episode.
It just seems like there are better people to cover this.
We only have
one pass to get in the actual arena. We can't even all be in the arena at once.
That'll be
good.
Three of us
are sleeping in the same hotel room.
That's fun.
We're not
you know
actually
like
covering
that.
The debate.
You know
I don't like that. I don't like sleeping in the same bed as you.
It's
like you.
Back in college, you slept like a baby last night. You didn't want
to
get up.
I didn't sleep. I tried to record the two of you guys snoring at 6 in the morning because it was insane.
You know
what was
interesting? Last night, I was hearing Medina snore.
Yeah.
He's snoring away. But then, I don't know if I dozed off for a little bit or something, but when I checked in again, total dead silence. He'd gone through his snoring phase, and then he was in perfect, peaceful sleep.
I didn't hear any silence
that
last
happened.
Night. Every time I tossed and turned, I was in between two professional log sawers going
at
it.
What's our job as the Great Debates? To generate material for debate.
Which we could
Mission
do anywhere. Why didn't we go to a nicer city? We could have gone to Vancouver. We could have gone to Boston. We could have gone back to New York. We could be in Chicago.
We go where the action is. The action is in Cleveland.
You yourself have said that it's been sort of disappointingly tame and quiet here. There hasn't been the hubbub of activity
that
we thought.
But tonight is only night three.
Actually,
Make America
we seem
first
to have
again.
Missed the biggest night of the convention so far, which was Monday night, I believe, when Melania. Is that right? Was that Monday night?
Yeah, I think so.
Monday night was the night that a bunch of crazy stuff went down. People tried to get do the roll call vote. Melania plagiarized her speech. All of that happened. Also, the crazy thing
okay,
with
yeah, if you,
Senator
if you want to make the topic,
King.
We should have been here
all
sooner.
Steve
I
King.
Agree. Yeah. Congressman King.
I thought he was a senator.
No, he's just a congressman.
Congressman King made those horrible comments about subgroups. We weren't here for that.
Yeah. Where would he? But, I mean, a lot of events happen on television. We're here to sort of pick up the surrounding events.
And we're not. We're debating about whether... Here's what we've debated so far today. Was the chicken pepper cash good? Should we be here? And what was the other thing we
here's
debated?
Here's what people are going to hear about. People are getting a lot of reports from the Cleveland Convention. They're getting people, CNN people who are hovering around the queue, the Quicken Loans Arena where the events are happening.
Right.
They're not seeing Cleveland. They're not getting anything. We're adding flavor to the public debate surrounding the
GOP
convention.
But you just said that we were supposed to be here at the convention. And
we're
now you're saying
both.
The opposite, which is that, no, we're supposed to be here in the city of Cleveland.
We're doing
well, anyone
things.
Can
we're
go to the city of Cleveland and report on what the city is like.
Opening the aperture of what we're looking at here.
By engaging in this debate right now, this is nothing.
We're
so
here.
Far, the only thing people have learned is that there's some degree of trees in the area.
We're in the American heartland, experiencing America, and then we're going checking in on the convention, bringing both perspectives back to our listeners. That's valuable.
I don't think we've added anything of my closing statement. I don't think we've added anything of significant value. I'm a little tired and cranky because I didn't sleep great last night. And there's no reason for us to be... I actually think that we're here, again, under false pretenses. I think that more experienced journalists should be here in our place, and that is
we
a disservice.
We didn't take credentials away from anybody.
Oh, you don't know that. There may be, that's the end of my closing statement. Healy?
Okay, the end of my closing statement is we are interesting reporters who broaden the experience of what's going on here in Cleveland. We report on the convention in an interesting way. We have an interesting voice to add to the national dialogue about the Republican convention. It's good for us to be here and observe it. If what we observe is that nothing happens, even that is valuable and worth bringing to the people. But right now, we're just having a nice afternoon in Cleveland with our friends, having an interesting debate about the city of Cleveland, our surroundings. We're hopefully painting a picture for our listeners. listeners, so they, wherever they are, can listen in and enjoy the experience of being in Cleveland with us. That's my closing statement.
Deans, what do you think?
I mean, I still don't know whether we should be here or not.
Okay. But what did you think of the debate, though?
I'm not sure that anyone won that debate.
Oh. Wow.
Is that a bummer?
That's very frustrating.
No, I like it. I think you're right. And I think that actually, in and of itself, proves that we shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Hey, listeners, let us know. Do you think we should be here? Tweet at us. Email us. Check us out on Instagram. See if that's interesting.
Why don't we take a walk now?
Cool.
Either way, it's a nice day, you have to admit.
Yeah, and I left out of the debate the best thing that happened to us today, which is that we saw Senator Bob Dole in the passenger seat of a car waiting outside of a hotel.
Right.
He saw us staring at him.
Is this host chat now?
Yeah, we're in host chat.
Okay.
We're semi-deep into host chat.
Do you guys just want to walk?
Yeah, we'll walk and talk.
Okay.
This is called Sorkining when we do this.
Okay. So we're walking now.
Yeah, Senator Dole waved us over. And had a nice little chat with us.
It was very strange. We were looking at him. We weren't even looking at him, but we sort of acknowledged amongst ourselves that it was him. And then he wasn't more than 10 feet from us, waved to us.
Rolled down his window, waved us over.
And then just started chatting.
Yeah. He said Trump's going to win. Dan admired his I Like Ike pin that he was wearing.
Right. And
clearly an original.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, it was pretty cool.
He told us he was raising money for the Eisenhower Memorial,
which is finally being made. I don't know what that is exactly. And then he said he had to skip town because he's going back to the White House because the Kansas City Royals are being feted at the White House for their championships. He had to be there.
And then as if to answer the question, why is he having any part of that? Because Kansas City's in Missouri. He said a lot of the players live in Kansas.
You're right. He did say that.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Also, we told him we're from California.
Right.
And he said Barbara Boxer is one senator he could never connect with.
I believe this was the most interesting part to me. I believe what he said was...
news? That's news.
Yeah,
that's
breaking news here. Yeah.
I believe what he said was the one senator he could never get along with.
Yeah.
Connect with.
And he said, I'm a friendly guy, so...
Right.
He was sort of putting it on her.
Okay, guys, we're back in Media Row after the convention. Let's have some hot debates.
Let's do it. Okay. What a night.
Yeah.
I got a top for you.
Okay. Go.
Healy taking the pro. Ted Cruz, cool move.
Steve Healy, I'm taking the pro. Look, I don't like Ted Cruz. I think he's psychotic and twisted individual. But I think what he did tonight... was
let's just make it clear what he did.
He got on stage and gave a speech, but he didn't endorse Donald Trump. Instead, he told the convention to vote their conscience, vote for the candidate they thought was going to uphold the Constitution.
Right.
And then he was loudly booed by the convention from New York, as apparently Trump threatened him earlier today. They knew that this might happen and warned him that he would get booed. Look, I think that this guy, an unusual move for him, took a principled stand. He doesn't want Donald Trump to be president. He couldn't bring himself to wholeheartedly endorse Donald Trump. So he did show that he was not the absolute craven loser that we thought he was. He actually had some sense of honor and principle that was enough to not endorse Donald Trump. That was the personal line he drew for himself. And he stood in front of a convention full of people and didn't do it. I think that took guts, and it may have been a weird move, but it was a cool move.
It's never cool to get booed off stage, or I should say it's almost never cool to get booed off stage. Here's the reasons why I think it wasn't cool. If you're going to do this, then just don't speak. You know that you're going to cause a scene. You know that you're going to... I'm not doing well here off the bat, but basically he was trying to both... He equivocated, and that's what I don't like. He said, vote your conscience. He said, he basically... hailed the Republican ticket as the proper right ticket, but he also didn't endorse Donald Trump. And to do both, I think, is having it both ways in a sort of egotistic way. That's the other thing that I think is not cool about it. This is the ultimate self-serving thing. He's making the convention about him. He's out there to say, he thinks he somewhere in his head still thinks that it should have been him. He thinks he should have been the nominee. He thinks that this wasn't fair and square. Otherwise, go the other way and actually say, put your name on it and say, I'm not going to endorse Donald Trump tonight. but here's how I feel.
Look, first of all, I want to address one of your earlier points. It's never cool to get booed off stage. I mean, Bob Dylan has been booed off stage many times. He got booed off stage when he morphed himself into an electronic musician or electric musician. Like, that happens in the course of someone's progression. They might get booed off stage because the audience isn't going with them. In fact, I think a cool artist and probably a cool politician will get booed several times in their career. Now, look, Ted Cruz is still leader of the Republican Party. He's a senator from Texas and was number two in the presidential race. He had an opportunity to address the Republican convention, and he took it. He spoke about the principles that he cared about, but he couldn't bring himself to endorse this man that he doesn't want to see in the White House, so he didn't do it. He went up there and he gave a speech. The fact is that the Republican Party has gone a way that he doesn't like, so he's stuck in this kind of difficult position. He could have, the easy way out would have been just to say, let's all support Donald Trump, but actually a braver thing was to stand up, talk about the principles that he believes in, and then say, you know, vote your conscience and direct the party that way. And, you know, in 4 years from now, Ted Cruz is going to look pretty good when Donald Trump goes down in flames.
Maybe. There's a good chance that Donald Trump wins the election and Ted Cruz is ostracized from the Republican Party.
Then he lost on a stand of principle.
Couple other points. It's Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is incapable of doing anything cool. He defines whatever the opposite of cool is. Also, glad you brought up Bob Dylan. Happened to have just finished the book, Dylan Goes Electric. In fact, what happened at Newport in 1965 is not that he got booed off stage, but in fact, he performed three songs as he was going to, and then a few people were not pleased with how loud it was and that they couldn't hear him singing.
But then he went to England, and don't look back, there are people booing him.
He was not booed off stage. People did not boo. People
Ted Cruz was not booed off stage either. He was booed as he was leaving the stage.
He ends the concert with like a Rolling Stone. Right? And the crowd goes fucking crazy at the end because he wins them over. He says, play fucking loud. And he plays it and they love it. And they don't boo him at the end. They boo Cruz at the end.
Look,
and
I
want
to get to a
difference.
Point that you brought up earlier, that Ted Cruz can't do anything cool. I don't think Ted Cruz is cool. I don't think he has a cool bone in his body, but he made an unusually for him out of character cool move. It was a cool, it's always cool
bold
to take
and
a stand
with what's cool.
On principle. Well,
it's not cool
and
to go
brave
into
is
another.
Cool.
You basically did the equivalent of going into another person's house and taking a shit on the floor.
No,
and that's
he didn't.
Not cool.
It's his house too. This is a big tent. It's the Republican Party. He's part of it. He has the right to give his speech the way he likes. If he doesn't want, if he truly can't bring himself to endorse the candidate, then the cool move is to not do it.
The cool move, if he feels the need to not endorse Donald Trump, then the truly cool thing to do is either to be very intelligent about it and actually like explain to the voters the reasons why he disagrees with Donald Trump and can't endorse him, or to make an even bigger show and say like, sorry guys, I'm not endorsing Ted Trump. My name is Ted Cruz. I think I should be the president for the United States, and either announce you're running on a third party or do something crazy.
Look,
that would actually be cool.
If in his heart his goal is to undermine Donald Trump, which I think it was, he succeeded in doing it. Tonight, the story coming out of this is going to be everybody's going to be talking about how Ted Cruz didn't endorse Donald Trump. Here's a leader of a conservative movement. This is going to be an ongoing story for the rest of the election.
You think the headline tomorrow
is undermine
Ted
Donald
Cruz
Trump.
Cool move? You think that's the story?
Well, I don't think newspapers write in that style, but I think in the
You think he'll be applauded for this move? You think he'll be given credit for
it?
He
already
what
has
he did?
On Twitter by Ross Douthat, basically the voice of conservatism right now. I mean, I don't like that either, but that's the fact of the matter. This guy's a New York Times columnist, and what did he say? Ted Cruz took a brave stand on principle.
And you're saying that because Ross Douthat said that he took a brave stand on principle, that it was cool. Because if Ross Douthat says that something is done on principle, then that is cool.
I think in the world
of
saying? Okay, this is my closing statement. In the world of conservatism,
we're not
we have
in
to
world
limit
of conservatism. Why?
Look, we have to limit it to this. This is a
you can't just say we have to limit it to
sure
that.
Sure, can.
That's crazy.
This is a United States senator. What's the range of moves that are going to be counted as cool? This is a cool move for a senator to undermine his rival in a cool, subtle way on primetime television, on a point of honor. It took a lot of courage and guts. It was a cool move.
It took no guts for him to get up there and do the ultimate self-serving move. You put so many caveats on this in terms of like in what world this could possibly be cool, and that just proves the point that it wasn't cool. You're absolutely right. It's very hard for senators to do cool things because they have a limited range of options. That's one of the reasons why this wasn't cool. Hardly anything that senators ever do is cool. That's the end of my closing statement.
But Deans, what do you think?
I think King wins the Bob Dylan debate.
Yeah.
Maybe Healy wins the larger debate.
I want to say that my own heart, I don't think this was cool at all. I think it was like exactly the kind of shady bullshit that Ted Cruz has been doing his whole life.
Yeah, he's a monster.
Yeah, it's
it was ugly and
so
gross.
Ugly and
gross. Slimy. Yeah.
The opposite of cool.
What else did we see? What a weird night. I mean, I do feel like we were all in the arena for the large portion of the Wednesday night festivities, so to speak.
Yeah.
Pretty weird night. I would say it ranged. What were your impressions? I would say briefly ranged from very boring to very strange, and then occasionally like scary rhetoric.
I've never been to a national convention before. I imagine that at a normal one, like I've been to political speeches of people I don't agree with, and you find yourself sort of swept up in it. But this I didn't feel at all. The only guy I thought was even tolerable was Mike Pence, who seemed like he has some kind of sense of principle. Everybody else seemed like a disgusting, cheap salesman who didn't even believe their own line of bullshit. My whole thinking about this convention is now affected by our encounter this afternoon with former Senator Bob Dole,
who in about
2 minutes totally won me over.
Yeah.
I think this is a weird word to apply to him, but seems cool. Had an instant rapport with us, chatted with us in a fun, funny way.
You're totally a winning guy. Totally right.
And none of the people on stage tonight had any kind of charm or charisma or
winning quality. He was strangely human.
Yeah, he was a human guy.
He just waved us over and just wanted to talk to us as people.
I think Hillary has got to fill the vacuum here by offering anything. What is she going to do?
Yeah.
At least on a... Okay, Donald Trump said he would build a wall. That's like a tangible, visual image of what he's going to do as president.
Yeah.
Hillary, if you're listening, I think you are. Give us anything. Offer us anything. What will a Hillary Clinton presidency bring?
I want to hear go like, three things.
Yeah.
We're going to do three awesome things.
Yes.
Oh, this might be a good opportunity for a presidential challenge.
Oh, yeah, of course. What are we doing at the convention if we're not doing a presidential challenge?
Of course, President King.
Okay, well, let's make this... Can we make this a presidential advisor challenge? Mm. So it's not President King, but he's advising...
I love being president.
I know, but in this scenario, you're not. You're advising President Clinton, Hillary Clinton.
Candidate Clinton.
Candidate Clinton.
Right.
You're trying to make her... it's still a presidential challenge.
Okay.
You're trying to make... former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, president.
Okay.
She says, look, I've been listening to great debates. You guys are right. I need three things. What are my three things?
Okay. This is tough.
Advisor King.
Okay. The first thing is, I've said this on the podcast before, but I'm going to go with it. I mean, you're springing this on me.
Mm-hmm.
First thing,
voting.
Not enough people vote in this country. We're going to adopt the Australian model. We're not going to call it that because people don't like hearing about other countries.
Right.
Here's the new way you vote.
The Hillary model.
You got to do it, and it's on Saturday. That's the rule.
How about day off? Federal day off?
No. Healy, I'm trying to advise here.
Okay.
People don't want a day off. They want to, they want to spend their weekend voting. No, you're right. You know what, Healy? Great upgrade.
Okay.
We're going to make voting day a national holiday, and it's mandatory. You get as much time as you need to vote, and you get the rest of the day off.
Great.
It's going to be November 1st.
Love it.
And if that falls on a weekend, then it's the closest Monday to that.
Love.
You don't have to work. It's going to be like civic service. If it's like jury duty. Mm-hmm. If you don't vote, you have to pay a small fine.
Yeah.
But everybody votes.
Love it.
And there is going to be no barriers of entry to voting.
Great. This is like a double winner Roosevelt kind of thing because, like, I think also a lot of those people would end up voting for Hillary's re-election.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, cool.
Okay. Second thing we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, the Republicans for months now have been saying that we're coming after your guns and we're going to make guns illegal.
Uh-oh.
And for months, all we've been saying is that we're trying to do is make guns a little safer, and we're trying to add some regulations, and we're going to make it harder for people to buy guns.
Uh-huh.
Not anymore.
Oh,
we're banning assault rifles. And if you have an assault rifle, you either have to get rid of it or sell it back to the government. The AR-15 is not allowed for civilians anymore. It is the time of the assault rifle has come and gone, and we are going to pass legislation that says this gun is not allowed in this country.
Okay, I think that's a risky one.
You're damn right it's risky, but this country we need a leader. We need to put it out there.
We had an assault rifle ban.
Right.
I think in a lot of states we already have assault rifle
bans. I don't know anything about this. You could be
the
right.
The difference between assault and semi-assault rifle is very small. I think it might be federally banned to have like a full automatic machine gun.
That's correct.
Which is what you might be thinking.
That's correct. People purchase like things to override the governor. Yeah.
Guns?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You
that's
don't know
illegal
what you're
too.
Talking about.
Not really. I'm not a gun expert.
All right.
I mean, it's tough. I'm trying
to
advise.
Do you have a third thing?
Yeah, let me think for a second here.
Education.
We're getting rid of the penny. We're finally getting rid of the goddamn penny.
I was hoping you'd say that.
We're getting rid of the fucking penny. Nobody needs it anymore.
Yes.
And we're putting ladies on all the money.
Ladies on all the money?
Ladies on all the money. We'll keep some of the men, but we're putting ladies on all the money.
I think that was listener Laura R. Didn't we debate this
one? We debated it, sure, yeah.
I think we should head out of Meteor Row here.
Yeah.
I'm going to propose the delegate from the pro side moves that we adjourn the debates until tomorrow.
Seconded.
The chair recognizes that the eyes or whatever have it.
Cool.
So cool.
Cool move.
Okay, guys, that's been the first day of our big trip to the Republican National Convention here in Cleveland. We had a lot of fun. We're going to broadcast some more tomorrow. So I hope you enjoyed this episode.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.